the whole chapter. I'll read the odd verses and we'll read the even verses together. So Psalm chapter 1, I will begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Once again, Lord, we do thank you just for all that you did here this morning. It was such a blessing to walk around after the service and see those being dealt with regarding salvation. I know some in our class, I'm sure many classes. Lord, thank you again. We get to be a part of a church that's seeing people saved, lives changed for your sake. I pray, Lord, that you would please be with us tonight. I know that there's something you want each of us to get from this message. Please be with Pastor as he preaches to us and all of us as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have a seat.
Sometimes we go through trials that are so hard to bear. We lift our face toward heaven, saying, "God, are you really there?" I've asked that same question. Yes, I've been down that road, but looking back, I now can tell you he's always let me know there is hope. So be strong. There is hope. God has sent me here to tell you there is hope, and he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope. He was bruised for our transgressions, he was nailed upon the tree. Cried out to his Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" But through my suffering Savior, he brought healing to our pain. And the one who raised up from the dead and restored us all again. There is hope, so be strong. Sent me here to tell you there is hope, and he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope, and he knows just what you're going through and what the future holds. Because Jesus lives, there is hope. Because Jesus lives, so don't give up. Yes, there is hope.
Thank you for that, Karina. Tonight we are back in the book of Psalms. We are in Psalm chapter 1, and we've been in the book of Psalms. I believe this is our 13th message on the book of Psalms. I figured it'd be about 8 when I started, but when you're looking at a book of 150 chapters, there's a lot there. One thing, as I mentioned last week, is some of the Psalms are very, 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 very familiar. And as I looked at it, it's, do you go back to those again, and do you preach on chapters you've preached at probably several times? And I've preached many times out of Psalm chapter number 1, and I refer back to it often because of what it says. Sometimes people say, how come sometimes in a church you'll mention something that, a subject or a topic you've mentioned before? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. There's certain truths we need constant remembrance of, okay? Or else we just, we forget about it. And so because of that, I didn't want to neglect some of the Psalms that maybe were more familiar to us. And Psalm 1 is probably one of the jewels of the book of Psalms. If I think of Psalms and I think of really, there's two that immediately come to mind, it'd be Psalm, there's many good ones. They're all good. Okay, the Bible's all good. Let me just back that up for a minute. But there's some that are more familiar to us, and the two that immediately jump to mind would be Psalm chapter 119 and Psalms chapter 1. And so I did want to get into this, and I didn't want to. It's so easy because I keep track in my. I always joke around. I say I don't read my Bible. I don't read this Bible at all. I read it on my iPad. Okay, if you think that's liberal, deal with it. And I make notes in there of I preached out of that passage. I preached out of this one. And Psalm 1 has quite a few checks next to it. But I didn't want to just pull it out. So I read it afresh and I looked at it, and it's always good. And it speaks about a very vital subject. And it speaks and it gives a promise that probably is one of the best in the Bible. And so I didn't want to forget that. So we hear a lot about God's blessing. And people, God's been good to me and God's blessed me. And we think about that when something good happens. And by the way, sometimes people will even say as they go through a trial in their life and God has taught them, they'll say things. They'll say, even though I went through that trial, God blessed me in that trial and taught me some things. But one thing is for sure, when God blesses us, and you need to understand this because I'm going to say something that will seem counterproductive or counterintuitive to what I'm going to say here. When God blesses us, we don't deserve it. We don't. No matter what we do, even though there's promises in the Bible, we fulfill the promises, and God blesses us because we fulfill the promises, we still don't deserve it. Because it's all of God's grace, as we talked about this morning. Just like salvation. We don't deserve salvation. That'd be a good time to say amen right there. We don't deserve salvation at all. I thank God that He saved me, and there is nothing in me I can look back and say, God, you got a good deal. Here's this singer, Kanye West. Is that Kanye West? And he says he's saved, and I'm not going to chip at him. It seems like he said some things that other people that have said they've got saved don't say. Okay, he's grieved about the way his wife's dressed, and he's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life. But salvation is a good thing. And it's like, wow, none of us deserve it. None of us can ever go up there and say, Lord, when you saved me, man, you made a good decision. Okay, it's not how it works. Everything is because of God's grace and because we don't deserve it. But even after salvation, blessing in our life is of God's grace. We don't deserve it. But most people, even after they're saved, don't experience God's blessings the way that they could. It's there. It's free. God offers it, but we don't receive God's blessings. Why? Why do some Christians get blessed by God? Why are some Christians, and there's a joy that comes, and the word blessing really has to do with being joyful, but that's part of the blessing that God gives us. Why is it some Christians experience God's blessing? Why is it some Christians experience God's joy, and other Christians do not experience God's blessings, and other Christians do not experience God's joy? Why is that? I mean, it's free. It's not anything that God looks down and says, you know what? You're just such a wonderful person. I want to bless you. So why do some get it, and why do some not get it? We're going to notice that in Psalm chapter 1 today, this evening. We don't know who the writer of this psalm is. We do know that it's at a perfect spot. When you open up the book of Psalms, it's such a rich book, and there's so many different things in it. And it opens up with this one psalm, six verses. And it's just very, very powerful and kind of sets forth everything that you're going to get in the book of Psalms. It's very simple, and it's very direct. But it's like anything else in the Bible. It leads to a decision. Okay? And we're going to look at that. This psalm presents two distinct ways to live. One, a life of blessing. The other, a life of judgment. It's a psalm that teaches wisdom. The choice we have as we get to the end of it is, will we be wise and obey God, or will we be foolish and reject obeying God and not receive that which He has for us? Because obedience always brings blessing, and disobedience always brings judgment. Now, what is it all wrapped up in? It's all wrapped up in the Word of God. That's it. Everything that God wants to do, everything God's trying to show us, every way that God wants to work through us always starts with His Word. And by the way, before we move on, if you are not in His Word, you're never going to experience that. We've been talking much about discipleship and being a disciple on Thursday nights. And that God wants us to be. Let me just tell you something. If you're not in your Bible, you're not gonna be blessed, and you're not gonna be a disciple. There's just all there is to it. And that's why I encourage you very strongly. If you don't have a Bible, you need to get one. If you're a newer Christian, you're around and you need a Bible, come see one of us. We'll help you get one, because everybody ought to have a Bible. And I think you ought to bring your Bible to church. Okay? And I'm not opposed to putting scripture on the screen. We don't have screens. The new building we have one, but this one's Apollo. It's about that old too, okay? The new building will have a better one, but there's just something for me about looking in the Bible and looking at the truth and making some notes or whatever you got to do. But the point I'm saying is, it's all around God's Word. The promise is set forth when it comes to which way are we going to choose in the first verse and the fourth verse. The first verse starts with these three words: blessed is the man. Happy, joyful, blessed, God doing things in their life. What is the contrast? The first few words of verse 4, the ungodly are not so. There's a contrast there. Hey, blessed is the man, boom, boom, boom. Verse 4, but the ungodly are not so. They're not getting it. So there's obviously a choice here. Where we fall at in life when it comes to blessing is in this choice. What choice have we made? The psalm begins with blessing and ends with a curse. It starts with the godly, it ends with the ungodly, and it starts with the saints and it ends with the sinners. And where we fall on that pendulum, where we fall on that line, depends on the choices that we make in our life, and we have to make the right decisions. Here's the thought I want us to get tonight. It's a long introduction, but the message won't be as long. I know that our service a little bit later. The thought I want us to get tonight is this: you'll never be blessed unless you choose to be blessed. That's it. Oh, God just intermittently, and by the way, it's all of God's grace. We get that. That's the foundation, so let's just put that in our pocket and hang on to it. But all things being equal, if you aren't blessed, it's because you have chosen not to be blessed. And if God is blessing and working in your life, it's because you have chosen to do some things that God can bless. You know, we sing God Bless America. That's pretty hard for God to do right now. And so I never pray for God to bless America. You say you hate your country? I love this country. I pray for America to be blessable. You see the difference? God can't bless us if we are not doing the things that He says allows Him to bless us. And it's not just true for a country, it's true for an individual. And I want us to get that tonight. This is the thought I want you to get. Being blessed is your responsibility, not God's. So that sounds humanistic. No, God gave us a choice. And we'll see that in a minute. Psalm 1 is giving us this option. So, if receiving God's blessings in our life is our responsibility, then what are those responsibilities? I want to give you six of them tonight, very briefly. If we do these things, we put ourselves in a position to be blessed by God, and it is still of His grace, and we're just doing what He told us to do so He could bless us. Think about that. Salvation has nothing to do with us. It's all of God's grace. But if we don't receive Jesus Christ, that's the one thing we have to do. We're not going to be saved, and we're not going to receive eternal life. Same thing is true with blessing. So what are the six responsibilities? The first one will be a little bit longer than the others, and then we'll move on. Number one, first responsibility is this. It's our responsibility to deny. It's our responsibility to deny. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh, what's that next word? Not. Oh, that's negative. Yeah, that's where God started. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, some people say, if you want to be happy and blessed, you just focus on the positives. And I'm all about focusing on the positives. But you know what God started with? He started with the negatives. Some things, and by the way, that's something we've thrown out there. Oh, that's just negative. No. God's telling you, you can't do these things if you want to be blessed. Why does God focus on that first? Because He can't bless us if there's things in our life that are keeping us from being blessed. That's why He starts with, blessed is a man that walketh not. To be blessed, there are some things, and here primarily He's talking about people or what is being taught from individuals that must be avoided. So the blessed man is marked not as much or only by the things that he does, he is marked by the things that he does not do. Vitally important. And we don't like that. In 1st or 2nd Peter, I forget, chapter 1, when he talks about growth in grace, he says, and add to your faith patience, virtue, and I don't have the order of the others. Virtue, I know there's vation, brotherly love, there's a bunch of different ones there. But the thing that's interesting is he lists them in order. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue patience. They're in order. You know what the first one he mentions? Virtue is how you live. Now, why didn't he say add to your faith this, and the spiritual, what we consider the spiritual things? Because if we're not living a right way, if we're living a wrong way, it keeps us from receiving the things that are right. That's why he starts here with the negative. That doesn't set well with modern Christianity. Let's just all be positive. Let's focus on the love of God. Let's focus on the love of God. The love of God says, I love you too much for you to be involved in these things which are going to hurt you. It's our responsibility to deny. Well, that's legalism. That's a list. It's not legalism. We're not adding works to salvation, and God has list. And not just by doing the list, that doesn't make us a good Christian. What doing some things God lists that maybe we shouldn't be involved with, we shouldn't do, we're checking off those things that would keep us from being blessed. So he says, here's some things we need to deny. Avoid these certain people. By the way, the New Testament makes it clear that we need to be very, very careful about some of the things in this world. Jesus said in John chapter 17, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There are things of the world which their philosophies, their belief system, their values are not scriptural, and they're not biblical. And when we allow them to influence us, and that gets in our life, we wonder why God cannot bless us. The average Christian doesn't think any different than the average non-Christian. Oh, they've done studies and surveys. They call it worldview. What's your worldview? Your worldview is the principles and beliefs you have that you filter your view of the world and things that are going on in the world. The average Christian, they're just the same as anybody else. You think if we would have scripture, we would be a little bit different. That's why the Bible is so important. So here are some things. He says it's our responsibility to deny. To deny once. To deny what? He mentions three very briefly. Heading the direction of the ungodly. They walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to be blessed, you can't do that. Walketh is a term pictured to how we live our life. When we walketh, he's talking about how do you live your life? What's your manner of life? Counsel is giving direction or advice. And the ungodly are people who are not spiritual, are willingly unspiritual, or are morally wrong. So what's he telling us? We walk in the counsel of ungodly when we let morally wrong, unspiritual people give us advice or counsel about how we should live our lives. We do that all the time. You say, I don't do that, Brother Myers. I'm Sunday night person. I'm at church. What do you listen to? What do you watch? Who do you allow to influence you? You can be a Christian, but I'm going to tell you something. It's real hard to fight that when you're allowing that in the life. Some immoral person isn't going to tell me how to live. Okay? Just because some guy is an athlete on my favorite team, I'm not going to listen to him when he tries to get up and tell me about social issues. He doesn't see it from God's perspective. Now, I'm not going to hate him. I get irritated with him. But I'm not going to hate him because he's not a Christian. He doesn't know any better, but he is not going to tell me how to live. God help us that our politicians are trying to tell us how to live. They might want to clean their act up. By the way, if I was a politician nowadays, I would be fearful for when I stand before God. But they're not going to tell me how to live. Someone who's not morally right, someone who is unspiritual, they are not, and everybody will give you advice about life. You'll sit in your lunchroom at where you work, and they're talking about stuff, and here's a guy that's had six wives that wants to tell you about marriage. Here's a guy that has 12 kids in jail and wants to tell you how to raise your kids. And I feel bad for someone that does that, but that's because they don't know Jesus Christ. Here's a guy that's cheating on his wife is going to give you life advice? That's not going to happen. Be very, very careful. And by the way, we set ourselves in front of teachers that are anti-God and we allow them to tell us about life. You better tune that out. If you go to a public university or something, you better tune that stuff out. Now, 2 + 2 = 4, teach me. Teach me about direct objects and verbs and nouns because I'm not good at that stuff. But don't sit there and tell me how to live my life and tell me the Bible's not true. Be very careful who is influencing you. We're heading the direction of the ungodly. We're hanging in the den of sinners. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Standeth means to remain, to take a stand somewhere. We're taking a stand in the way, the course of life of the sinners. Those who do not care about, those who don't care about disobedience to God are living sinfully. This is a different, now we're not just listening, we're with this group. Who we hang around with is vitally important. Well, Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of sinners because he was Jesus. And he was always talked about himself. Okay, you're not Jesus. Now, we ought to love everybody, but I'm not going to hook up close with somebody who would push me in the wrong direction. I'm not going to hate them, and I'll bring my friends. Look, you're trying to reach somebody like that. Bring some other Christians. Bring them to church and love them and all that stuff. But listen, we're not going to go hang out together because they're going to want to do things that aren't godly, and I'm going to want to do things that are godly. You know who usually wins? The ungodly. Be very, very careful. Now we're starting to be around those who do not love God. They're our close friends. And then also hearing the derision of the scorner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're sitting there. We're dwelling in a place of those who make light of God's law and that which is sacred. We're placing ourselves there. When someone is, by the way, it's sad to say, churches and Christians, they're scornful about the beliefs of the Bible. Oh, you know who criticizes a proper type of Christianity? It's usually Christians. Oh, I don't want to go. We've had people come here. I don't like this. I don't go to my rock and roll church. I can do whatever I want. It's about as spiritual as my left toe. Okay? They've got to go to that church over there. They don't want to hear it. Oh, you're kind of, look, if you want to believe different, you believe different. Go off and do your own thing. But when they're scornful, but hey, we're just trying to live right. By the way, we shouldn't be scoring. We'll try when someone's trying to maybe believe something a little bit more conservative than we are. God bless them. Well, there's, or those that are unsaved, score, that Christianity, that's not true. If you do that, that's going to ruin your life. You're not going to be happy. Listen, don't be. Stay away from critics. You know where you hear a lot of them? Social media. Social media brings out all the goofballs. No matter what you could post, you could post something good. Half the crowd's going to say it's good. The other half will find fault with it. It's like, get over that, okay? You know, just because we hide behind a keyboard, but be careful about that. So if we want to be blessed, you know, the first place, let's be careful what we allow into our life. Let's deny the things access to influence us that God says will keep us from being blessed. So it's first, it's our responsibility to deny. Secondly, it's our responsibility to delight. That's verse 2. So we're not getting our advice, our counsel from scornful, sinful, ungodly individuals. Our life is not going to be molded by them. We're going to do on the flip side. We're going to delight in God's word. Verse 2. But his delight, that's the contrast, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now listen, it's not just the law of God. It's not just scripture. What's the key word in there? Delight. Even Christians see the Bible sometimes. It's like take, you know, back when I was a little bit younger, the medicines they gave us were kind of, you know, mom always said, oh, take castor oil. I'd rather take motor oil. You know, all this stuff. Oh, that stuff's good. They used to put, when I had a little bit of asthma, I was scared, oh, put this stuff on your chest. Man, that stuff was bad. Like burning a hole in your chest. Like, I think I'd rather just, die. But all this stuff, that's how we see the Bible. It's like a medicine that's unpleasant. There was this one medicine when I had asthma. It was like the few times when you get real sick in the year, and it was really like drinking hairspray. You know, like my mom would use hairspray, and you go in there, and that like, ugh. And it's like when you're, I don't know what hairspray tasted like, but I'm pretty sure that medicine is what it tasted like. And my mom said, it's bad. You got to take this one. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I don't want to take that stuff. I'd rather drink, paint thinner. And it's like, ugh. Some of us see the Bible like that. I got to do this because, I'm a Christian. But it's like, ugh. We should delight in the Bible. It should be a delight every time we see something in the Bible. It should be a delight every time we read the Bible. It's our attitude towards it. Could it be we don't have the right attitude towards the Scripture because we've not denied like it tells us to in verse 1? It's kind of hard to delight in something when you're around people that are they don't like it. But God wants us to delight. We have to have a proper view of the Bible. Some think it's restrictive. Others say it's irrelevant. No, the Bible is very relevant in life. Or it's drudgery. You will never be blessed unless you have a proper relationship with the Bible. Think of it. If you're married, let me ask you this. This will convict all of us. What if your relationship with your spouse was the same as your relationship with the Bible? Some of you only see her like once a year. Come to think of it, that might work, Brother Bichardo. Or you read the Bible, it's like, let me get over this. It's like my wife starts to talk to me, I'm like, all right, get over this. I'm busy, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested in what you have to say, but I have to sit here, so talk to me for 15 minutes, and when you're done, I'll check you off the list. I did it for the day, so that I, 15 minutes every day, got through my Bible. 15 minutes every day, you got to talk to me, you got your 5,000 words in, now leave me alone. That wouldn't work very well, right? So let's treat the Bible with delight. You ought to delight to be with your wife or your husband. No amens there. You need the couple's retreat. You either need the couple's retreat or you need a lawyer, okay? Let's get this fixed here, all right? The couple's retreat is a lot cheaper. Let's get over here. But we need to delight in God's word. How do you say, Brother, I'm kind of new and I read the Bible. I don't understand all of it. And that's okay. Do you know the more you come to church, the more that it's taught and it's preached, and then you read it, the more you read it, the more the stuff starts to fill in. Now, I read the Bible the first time. I read it through in 3 months, and I'm like, I'm reading stuff like, wow, I didn't know I was in there. Whoa, stories. Wow, I didn't know what was going on. And I didn't quite understand it, but as I was reading it the second, third, fourth, fifth time, and I'm hearing teaching, I'm like, now I understand. Oh, that makes sense now. Okay? So let's delight in God's word. You're not going any far. We could just stop right here. We won't, though. There's four verses. But if you don't delight, if you don't get in God's word, you will never be the Christian God wants you to be. And I'm not saying that to beat you over the head. I'm saying that to encourage you. Get in your Bibles. Okay? Number three. It's our responsibility to do. God tells us what happens to the man. He's denying over here, and then he's delighting over here. Now what happens? Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season, and he shall not wither. And look at these next phrases. This is one of the greatest promises in the Bible. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's like a big wow. Anything you do will be prosperous if you deny and you delight in God's word. You know why? Because now God can bless you. Now you're in a place where God says you're not going to have this wrong influence pushing you wrong direction, and you're going to have this right influence, the word of God, taking over your life and pushing you in the right direction. And because you're going in the right direction, I'm going to be able to bless you in everything you do. Now, it's on face value, that sounds like God just promised, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So if I go out and try to rob a bank, God will bless me and prosper me? No. Well, he says, whatsoever you do shall prosper. I mean, can God create a rock that's too heavy? He can't lift it up? Okay, other nonsensical questions. Well, no, but here's the deal. Because if you are not listening to the wrong influence and the Bible is influencing you to do the right things, you're not going to want to rob a bank. You're not going to want to do the wrong things. You're going to want to do the right things. And guess what happens when you want to do the right things? God's on board with that all day. And so God can bless everything we do. The things we do, because we're going to be doing the right things. And then we get the good stuff. We're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's where they're provided for. That's where they're healthy. You ever go to somewhere where maybe it's a little bit more of an arid or a little more of a desert type situation? If there's a river running through there, where are all the green trees? They're going to be close by the riverbank because that's where they're going to get the water. And that's what happens to us. He has fruit in his season. Your Christianity will be working in your life. You'll be bearing fruit in the way you live. You'll be bearing fruit in ministering and serving people. And it says your leaf is not going to wither. That's talking about longevity and continuation. I'll tell you, if Christianity is working for you, are you still excited about God? Are you still in your Bible 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road? You say, you know, I'm hanging on. God doesn't want us to hang on. God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to continue. God wants us to be in a place where we're being provided for. Okay? A Christian who is not spiritually prosperous and successful in the areas of life God wants us to be is not in their Bible. I can tell you that right now. You know, remember Lee Robertson, and he was a pastor of a huge church many, many, many years ago in Tennessee. And he had his counsel sometimes was very, very point blank. You know, I'm struggling in this area of my life. Are you coming to church? You tithing? You reading your Bible? I'm not reading my Bible. That's your problem right there. That's your problem right there. Let's pray. Lord, help me get back in their Bible. Say, that's simplistic. The Bible's kind of simplistic. Now, I know sometimes we need help kind of figuring it out. I get that. But if we're not in our Bibles, we're not going to be blessed. There's just no way. Say, Pastor Miles, I kind of get the idea you think we should be in our Bibles. Bingo. Yes. It's not just a book we carry. It's something that's supposed to be a part of our life. God wants to bless us, and he can't bless us. If you're not healthy, fruitful, faithful Christian, it's because you are not serious about the Bible. That's all there is to it. No, it's the church's fault. I can't make you read your Bible. Preached a whole message several years ago. You know, I'm just not being fed, Pastor. Well, feed yourself. Look, if my wife says I'm not making dinner for you anymore, let me just tell you something right now. I'm going to eat. I will find a way to eat. Okay? The table will be set. Food will be on the table. I'll find a way to do it. Okay? Maybe you're not being fed because you're not eating. You know, as kids, we've had, you know, they'll come and say, they want to sit there and press their food. It's like, eat. A kid one time in the daycare, parents said, they'll eat one thing. I'm talking about three or four eating like just baby food. Oh, they won't eat regular food. Can I just tell you something? They ate food at our house. Because once mom and dad left, it's like, here, eat this. Oh, okay. It's because we weren't mom and dad. They would just eat it. Like, they'd like food. But look, we got to feed ourselves. All right, next. Getting late. It's our responsibility to decide. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Here's the flip side. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The comparison, the ungodly who are not blessed, their life is a mess. They're like the chaff that would blow off of the little nuggets there, the wheat, and they just blow it away. It's nothing. It's fluff. It's not the important stuff. It's just all. That's what a life is like when we don't serve God. We're all over the map. Nothing's important. We're just kind of, it's just a mess. By the way, I don't say that to be condemning, man. It's like, why would someone want to live in a mess when you don't have to? You don't have to. You can have something better. Connect with God. Connect in His Word. Let Him work on you. But you have that choice. The ungodly are not so. So which way are you going to go? Do you want to be like the ungodly? Do you want to have these messes? And if you know Jesus Christ, you don't have to. You have to make that decision. Things that happen to you just aren't happening arbitrarily. We have to decide. I'd say let's decide for the good thing. That's why you can have two Christians. They can have the same type of upbringing, same church, same school, you name it. Everything in their life, all the opportunities could be the same. And one of them, it's like, man, something's going on in their life. The other one, it's like problem, mess. It's like, what's the difference? Well, it has nothing to do with that. One decided somewhere along the line, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to let God do something in my life. And the other decided, I'm going to do my own thing. Number 5, it's our responsibility to decipher. Verse 5, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners and the congregation of the righteous. That's not good. I can explain it all to you, but it's not good stuff. But you know what the problem is? We have a hard time understanding that that's not good stuff. We look at somebody sometimes that's not living for God, and we're like, hey, that's what I want to. And we start to envy, like Asaph in Psalm 53, we're envious at the ungodly. And we have nothing to be envious about. If we're serving God, we got the good stuff. Not we're better than anybody, but it's like, don't fall for the outward trappings. How's everything going in their life? And people hide it from you. Just play the long-term game. But these people say they're a Christian, and they're not serving God, and they're not faithful to church, and it just seems like everything's going well. Let's wait a few years. Just, you know what, if I have to decide, let God be true and let every man A, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to just follow what the Bible says. I'm going to get in lockstep with what God says and just see how that goes. I'll give it some time because I know it's going to work out. But we have to decipher that. Too often we look at them and we're envious and we want the things the ungodly have. And it's like, that's not what God has, and it's not the real truth. I can just tell you. We had couples and people visit our church and it looks like everything is going on in their life and everything's great. And you go visit them and it's like, hey, they have everything. And it's like, they just unload the truck. And it's like, okay. Because you can't go by outside looking. They looks on the outside. You got to go what's on the inside. So let's decipher correctly. The righteous life is better than the unrighteous life. The godly life is better than the ungodly life. What you see on television or movies or hear in music, that's not reality and it's not true. Okay, it's not. They portray, oh yeah, I did a funeral for someone, they didn't go to our church, and someone had used to go to church, and the pastor's like, let's do it as a service to them. And I had the funeral for them, and I got done, and everything was, I thought it was nice. And then as I sat down, they said, you know, here's the song this person wanted to be played at their funeral. And it was this, I did it my way. And I'm thinking, seriously? That is not, I don't want to play at my funeral. I did it my way. Thank you. Thank you. My new CD's coming out. It's a big picture of me, and it's like, Steve sings about God. Okay? I did it my way. I don't want that at my funeral. I want, like, you just still, because I can sing, huh? Falsetto. But it's like, that's not the way to do things. We got to do things God's way. Okay? Number 6. I can sing. Next week, Karina and I are going to sing, There Really Is Hope. Number six, it's our responsibility to distinguish. What does God say? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are two ways calling us, the righteous way, the ungodly way. They're completely different. They're completely distinguished. You cannot mix the two together. They're different. Whenever you try to take the godly way and you try to add ungodly elements to it, it doesn't work. You got to mix them. You can't mix them together. So the whole message is this. I took a few more minutes than I planned on. God wants you to be joyful. God wants to bless you. But it is your responsibility to put yourself in a place where God can bless you. And so if you're not being blessed, if you're not experiencing joy in God's life, we'll never be able to say, God, that's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. The times in my life when things have been dry and it's not his fault, it's my fault. So let's how do we do that? It's really all goes back to one thing, his word. And allowing that to dictate our life and throwing out all the other things. Even some of these things, we got to distinguish between these lifestyles. When we're in the word of God, it's very clear. It's very abundantly clear. Let's all stand together this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute.